Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Luke, chapter 15. And the Pew Bible is going to be a different version than what I'll be reading from. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. So you can find the scripture reading on the back of the insert that's in your bulletins. On one side is the scripture reading, and then on the other side is an outline of this morning's sermon. So keep in mind that outline there and the scripture reading as well. And we'll be reading from Luke 15. Now, I've been preaching a sermon series on the book of Luke. Today, we're in Luke 15. And last week, the congregation here heard a sermon on the first part of that chapter, the parable of the lost sheep. And today's sermon is on the next verses, the next parable, the parable of the lost coin. So let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible, inerrant word, Luke 15, beginning at verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Thus, the reading of God's word today from Luke chapter 15. And keep in mind the outline as well in your bulletins today. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, in this trinity of parables in Luke 15, there are many preachers that will say there is very little difference between the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And so instead of preaching a sermon on Luke 15 concerning the parable of the lost sheep and then the parable of the lost coin, they will either combine the two parables or skip over the parable of the lost coin and go on to the parable of the lost son. We call these the lost parables of Luke 15, a trinity of parables, first a lost sheep, then a lost coin, and then a lost son. As you listen to the scripture reading this morning, perhaps you recognize a number of similarities between the two parables, and perhaps you could understand why a preacher may skip the parable of the lost coin and move on to the parable of the lost son. Both of the first two parables portray God seeking after what is lost and searching for what is lost till it is found. The shepherd in verse 4 is searching for his lost sheep until it is found. The woman in verse 8 is searching for her lost coin until it is found. A similarity between the two parables. A second similarity is that both parables are describing a celebration in almost exactly the same way, the celebration of the person who has found the sheep and has found the lost coin. They say the same thing to their friends and neighbors as they celebrate. We see it in verse 6. In fact, it's in quotes. "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost," the shepherd tells the people. We see it as well in verse 9. Again, it's in quotes. "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." The shepherd, the woman, in quotes, say almost exactly the same thing, about the only difference is one is a sheep and one is a coin. A third similarity between the two parables is that the parables both end with joy. But as Jesus tells the parable, he speaks of a joy that is beyond an earthly joy. He speaks of a heavenly joy. And the cause of the heavenly joy in both parables is exactly the same thing. We see it there in the last verse of the parable, verse 7. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Same thing in the last verse of the parable of the lost coin, verse 10. I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The joy of heaven in both parables is because one sinner repents. And it's important you understand the language here in the ESV in verse 10 is not necessarily so accurate concerning the Greek wording. The wording in the ESV, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God. A better reading from a different translation, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. Joy in the presence of God, where the angels are, when one sinner repents. Well, these are the similarities between the two parables, and you can see with all the similarities, a preacher might come along and say, well, how can I preach the parable of the lost coin? It seems like they're the same points as the parable of the lost sheep. But there are differences. And the Lord has given us these differences to help us understand a point that the first parable and the third parable does not make. Jesus is not telling us the same thing two times in a row. He didn't give us a portion of scripture that would be just repetitious so we could skip over and go to another parable. But the parable of the lost coin is revealing to us something more about the state of a sinner and about the heart and the love of God for that sinner. The first point on your outlines this morning is to help you first of all see that we're going to approach this parable from a vertical perspective. That means it's not a horizontal. We're not looking at an earthly perspective, but a horizontal perspective. But we're looking at it from a vertical perspective, not horizontal, but vertical. And that means we're going to look at it from God's perspective, and that's how Jesus directs us. One reason, perhaps, that someone might skip over this parable for preaching is because we have a coin. In the first parable, you have a sheep, a living sheep that is lost and found. In the third parable, you have a son, a living son that is lost, that is found. But in this parable, we have a coin, an object. And so some people say, well, how can I preach about an object that is found? And how can I tie in the object to the point about a sinner? And that's why it's important we start with the vertical perspective. And Jesus directs us there, you see, in the last verse, verse 10. Because the woman has lost a coin and found it. And in the last verse, Jesus says, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. What is the coin referring to in Jesus' parable? The coin Jesus is using in this parable as an illustration to point to a person, a sinner that repents. And what happens in heaven when a person who comes to repentance of their sin before God? The verse tells us there is joy in heaven. Again, a vertical perspective to the parable. The previous verse is about a celebration on earth with friends and neighbors, but the parable ends with heaven's perspective on what's taken place. When a lost sinner is found, there is joy in heaven, joy in the presence of God, in the presence of the angels of God. And God has given us this parable of the lost coin to reveal to us in an earthly way what is an even greater way taking place in heaven. In other words, if what is true for a woman who has lost a coin and found it, how much greater is it true for a person who is a lost sinner and has been found by God? Jesus is telling us about eternal matters, vertical matters, when he tells us this parable about the lost coin and how it points us to a sinner who has been found. Well, there are three points of emphasis then. Next point on your outlines, point B. Three points of emphasis in this parable compared to the first and compared to the last. In other words, in this trinity of parables about something that's lost, a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son, there is a distinction, three differences that the parable of the lost coin points out to us that Jesus is telling us that we are to see compared to the other two. The first unique emphasis is point number one on your outlines. A sinner has no ability to be found. Now, in this point, Jesus is helping us see that in a coin, instead of a sheep, a coin cannot do anything to find itself. In the parable of the lost sheep, it's possible that the sheep that wandered off on its own, there's always a possibility that when the shepherd calls, that sheep might come back on its own. There's also a possibility that a sheep, while the shepherd is searching, may move around and get lost even further in trying to find its way back. We know that that is the parable of the lost son. The lost son comes back to the father. But that's not the case with a lost coin. The image of the coin that Jesus uses is helping us see in this trinity of lost things, parables, an illustration about something that cannot move or speak. The coin is dead. It has no life. It is buried in the dirt. This is the image that Jesus now is using in this middle parable to teach us about the lost sinner. The coin has no ability to save itself. And if it's true of a coin, the last verse tells us, how much more of a sinner? The coin has no ability in itself to be found. It's as dead sinners are in their sins. A coin buried in the dirt, as dead as a body buried in the ground. The sinner can't move unto God on his own. He has no ability, as a coin has no ability, no life in it, to move to God on its own. A coin can't shine light by its own effort to capture God's attention. It can do nothing to gain the attention of the person that seeks it, as a sinner cannot shine a light or shout out or do anything to gain the attention of God, that God would somehow notice it and find that sinner. Just as the coin has to stay where it is and wait, so Jesus in this middle parable wants us to see that a lost sinner can do nothing but stay and wait. As the coin waits to be found, so a person waits to be found. And as the woman in this parable is searching and doing all the finding, so does God do all the searching and finding of a lost sinner. And that brings us then to the second point of emphasis in this parable: the value of the lost. And I'm even going to add a little bit to that. The value of the lost sinner to God. In the trinity of parables, it starts out with a lost sheep. We know it well, that first parable. There is one of the 99 sheep that is lost. In the second parable, the value increases. It's not one of 100, 1%, but it is, the first verse tells us, one of 10 coins that is lost, verse 8. Now it's 10% value of what is lost in the second parable. The value is increasing. And when you get to the last parable, one of two sons is lost. 50%. So you go from 1% to 10% to 50%. A pattern, a flow to show you that the value in the parables, the Lord is increasing the value. It starts out with a lost sheep, 1%. It goes to 1% of a coin, or I'm sorry, 10% of a coin, and it ends with the most important thing that could be lost at all. A person. And that tells you that in this parable, Jesus now, in the middle one, is increasing the value of what's lost. You know, this woman who's lost her coin could say, well, you know what? I've got 9 coins. That's enough. I don't need any more. She could say to herself, you know, it's only money, and you know, my health is good, and I've got enough money. I'm not going to worry about that one coin that's lost. But in Jesus' parable, she doesn't do that. She wants to find the lost coin. She makes it her focus to find the one that was lost, because that coin that is lost is valuable to her. And what's more, in this parable, the emphasis on that coin that she searches for does not lose its value. The shepherd imagery might make you think that, well, that sheep that went off on its own, that sheep that the shepherd has found is dehydrated, starving. Maybe it won't be worth as much as it was when it went off on its own. And instead of nursing it back to health, he brings the sheep back. But if he can't nurse that sheep back to health, he may have to slaughter that sheep. An injured sheep in the first parable is not worth as much, not as much value as a sheep that is healthy. But in the coin parable that follows, Jesus emphasizes something different. He gives us more information about something that's lost. The value has increased. The coin, you see, just like the human soul, though it may be lost, does not lose its value to God. Its value and what it's worth is exactly the same to God, whether it's one of the 9 or one that's lost. Think about what that means for the sinner who is lost. It's so easy for us today to think of ourselves about, or think to ourselves about that one person who goes off into a life of sin and think to ourselves, well, they made their own bed. We don't care about them anymore. It's easy for us to look at other sinners who do not know God or never claim to know God and see how they live and say to ourselves, well, they're wicked people. We don't care about them anymore. We may think to ourselves, God doesn't care about them, so why should we care? But in the parable of the lost coin, Jesus teaches us about a sinner, you see, from God's perspective, from heaven's perspective, that the coin that the woman has lost is not injured, sick, malnourished, and worth less. The coin that is lost is worth just as much as the other 9 coins that she has. And what does that mean for the sinner, for the person? It means that according to the book of Genesis, the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1:26, each person that is born into this world is created in the image of God. It means that each man, woman, child, and unborn child, whether they are lost or found, they are created in God's image. That means that they are given a soul with knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. That puts each one more valuable to God than a sheep, an animal, or that all the money in the world. And just because, from heaven's perspective, a person is lost Just because a person who is born in sin and has suppressed that knowledge of God with his sin does not make him any less valuable to God. He's created in God's image. And every person that's born in this world, whether lost or found, is valuable to God because they are made in his image. And they are valuable to God more than a sheep, more than a coin. Valuable to God is a soul that is lost. And whether it is lost or found, the value of the person in this parable is the same to God. The coin doesn't lose its value. When she finds it, it's worth just as much as any of the other nine that she has. And here is where the analogy of the parable breaks down. A coin is used by Jesus to show how great the value, but the coin is worth nothing in heaven. In heaven, the angels would never rejoice over a coin that was found. There would be no reason for celebration for that. But a soul that is saved, a heart that God changes, all of heaven will rejoice over one sinner that repents. The third point of emphasis in the parable of the lost coin is that as we look at the woman and Jesus tells this parable about her, we see the extent of what God goes to save a sinner. Notice the diligence at which this woman searches. While the shepherd goes after the one that is lost, we're told, if emphasis in verse 8, the woman does three things. In other words, the parable of the lost coin describes three particular actions. If she loses a coin, middle of verse 8, does not she light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? Notice the last part. Until she finds it. Her diligence illustrates the extent that which God would go to save. God would bring about the repentance of sinners by sending down his Son, who is the light of the world. Jesus Christ, God's Son, would shine the light of salvation in a world that is lost in the darkness of sin. And he would shine that light, preaching the truth of God's word and salvation to the crowds. He would go to the cross and pay for the sins of his people, sweeping away the darkness of sin in their hearts and seeking a lost soul until he has found every one. Don't you see that this is the salvation of God that Jesus is picturing for us in this parable? Just as the shepherd who called together his friends and neighbors to celebrate the joy of finding a salvation of his lost sheep, so the woman as well goes to call together her friends and neighbors to celebrate the finding of her coin, pointing to the celebration of a sinner that repents. Verse 9. Jesus has her say almost exactly the same thing as the shepherd. Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin I had lost. That is why the woman and the shepherd say almost exactly the same thing at the same time. Jesus wants you to see the connection. He wants you to see what's building and what's building toward the Son. And the third parable is a person that repents. Well, that brings us then to the third main point on your outlines. The last verse of the parable, the last verse of the previous parable, they both speak of heaven's joy. But what's added to the second parable, if you notice the first one, we're told that there is joy in heaven. But in verse 10, we're told there is joy before, or as I worded it from another translation, joy in the presence of the angels of God in heaven. Joy and celebration in heaven. Keep in mind what Jesus is describing here. He's describing from a vertical perspective what heaven does when a sinner repents. Heaven's joy is such that there is joy over only one thing. There's no joy in heaven over a sheep, an animal that's found. There's no joy in heaven over a coin that's found. There is no joy in heaven, we're told in the scriptures, over a person that has fallen ill like a sheep and gets better. There's no joy in heaven if the stock market goes up or you get a bonus and you make a whole lot of money. There's no joy in heaven about a lost coin that's found. There's not even joy in heaven if the right candidate is elected the president of the United States and you think your life on earth is going to get better. The text tells us in heaven they only celebrate one important thing. The only thing they celebrate in heaven in the presence of God before the angels is a sinner who repents. Whenever God saves a lost sinner, Jesus tells us, that sinner that was created in God's image, who has just as valuable to God as the 99 who weren't found at that moment, or the 10 or the other 9 coins that weren't lost, there is joy in heaven over that sinner who repents. Joy from the angels of heaven. Everybody there breaks out in singing and rejoicing that God has saved a sinner that was lost and could not save him or herself. And that's where the second parable expands upon the first. In the parable of the sheep, we read of the joy of heaven. Here we read of angelic joy. The angel that calls out in praise of God for his salvation has come. And in the third parable, we see even more. For what starts out as heaven's joy and moves to angels' joy ends in the third parable with a father's joy. The angels are not created in the image of God. They are messengers of God. They celebrate because one created in God's image has been saved from their sin. And the parable shows us the value of the salvation of God, a soul that was lost. The parable of the lost coin is not very long, and you can see why it is often combined or skipped over. But it's important that you understand it's not just saying the same thing as the parable of the lost sheep or the parable of the lost son. It has a unique emphasis and meaning in the three messages of the parables. In the context of the other two parables, we see the emphasis that a sinner, number one, is dead in sin, has no ability to be found. Jesus does that. Number two, that every sinner that's lost is just as valuable to God as the one who isn't lost. And three, the parable of the lost coin tells us the extent to which God would go to save all sinners. God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the light of the world." He sent him to accomplish the salvation of God by his death and resurrection on the cross. He sent him down to earth to go all through the house looking for souls that are lost in sin and bringing them to salvation. He's the only one who can do it. And no one can call out to him or do anything worthy of that salvation that comes. It started when he came to earth, when the light of the gospel shined through him. And it continues to shine today in the preaching and teaching of God's word as the gospel is preached in a sinful world. The light of salvation shines forth and through the word and spirit sinners who are dead in their sin, repent and believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God continues to sweep and clean up hearts. God continues to seek, and celebrations in heaven continue. Remember how this chapter started out in verse 1? The parables are told in that context of verse 1. We're told that tax collectors and sinners are drawing near to him. Jesus is preaching the gospel of salvation. We're told in the first part of that verse that some of the worst sinners in the eyes of the Pharisees and scribes are drawing close to Jesus. Those tax collectors, they had betrayed the Jewish people. Those tax collectors working for the Roman government. Those terrible tax collectors and sinners, they have betrayed their own people and they make money off their own people. Perhaps even going so far, as some did, to put their own people in jail for not paying enough taxes, money that they lifted for themselves. Some of the worst sinners in the eyes of the Pharisees and the scribes, they're drawing near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes are grumbling, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them. Why would he do that?" They're grumbling about sinners that repent of their sin and draw near to Christ. And in the parables that follow, one of the common themes is that each parable ends with the joy of heaven. A joy and celebration in heaven that only happens because of one thing, a sinner that repents. That means there was a celebration and joy in heaven when the 99 repented. That means there was a joy and celebration when the 9 repented. And there is joy and celebration in heaven in the presence of God before the angels when every sinner repents and turns to God. And now Jesus is telling the Pharisees and the scribes that when a sinner repents and draws near to Jesus, no matter how bad that sinner is, they shouldn't grumble. Because if heaven celebrates when one sinner repents, the Pharisees and the scribes should celebrate too. And if heaven celebrates when one sinner repents, we should celebrate too. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you today for this parable which puts before us the light of the gospel. For Lord, we see our own selves in this parable. For like the coin, we cannot be found. We can't call to you. We can't look for you to pay attention to us by anything we do. For we are dead in our sin and lost. We're thankful for our Savior who has come. That he has saved us. That he has found us. We are thankful that he has valued us enough as a lost sinner created in your image to bring us unto salvation. To know that he came to earth to die on the cross to pay for our sins. To know that because of the value of his being fully God and fully man, he alone is valuable enough to pay for the sins of all of his people. Father, we know this is the extent that you went to save us. And Father, we rejoice that along with the joy of heaven, we can share in the joy of a sinner that repents. We thank you that there was joy in heaven when we repented and turned to you and were found. We pray, Lord, that every time a sinner repents, we too may find and share the joy of heaven as this parable shows. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.